Hey, everybody, this is Steli Efti.
And this is Heaton Cha.
And today on the Startup Chat, we're going to talk about how to keep your sanity in 2020, how to be a founder during these times, how to be a human during these times.
I think we like talking about more than just sales and marketing.
We just want to bullshit and chat about business and life, and hopefully, while we're doing that, provide a lot of value to people.
The world's best business podcast.
Oh, shit, we got it!
For people trying to get shit done.
Yeah. We don't want to give you feedback that's bullshit.
Yeah, we want you to do your best.
Man, this year is something else. And I'm sure we're not the only, lots of people are going through a lot of things right now. And I felt like, typically we're known for super short, super sharp, very tactical and practical episodes. But these are unusual times, so maybe they call for an unusual Startup Chat episode. I felt like it might make sense for us to just chat. How do we deal with this? How do we think about all the insanity that's going on in the world? Maybe we do have a few things to share with our listeners that are going to be helpful. Or if not, maybe that in and of itself gives some comfort that not even the two of us know how to deal with this.
That's right.
So let me ask you. I mean, we're currently going through... So the first big wave was obviously the global pandemic and COVID. Now we're going through this, this wave of worldwide demonstrations and riots, peaceful protests kicked off by police brutality. But it's sort of maybe even bigger than just that. There's a lot of different things that are in the mix that are going on right now. How have the last, 2-3 weeks been for you? And kind of for your team and your company, has it been different than the first COVID wave of craziness? How do you cope? How do you keep your sanity during all of this right now?
Yeah. So for me, I just feel really lucky. And I think I have at this point, an unlimited number of reasons why. Mm-hmm. And so I couldn't even cover them, and I think that's how I deal with this. I just realize where I'm lucky. And make sure that like I don't lose sight of that, regardless of what else is going on for other people, because that's really helpful. I think we might have talked about this a little bit, but I've been really wrapping my head around for myself the difference between luck and gratitude.
Yeah,
and I think we talked about that a little bit, a couple of times at least. And for me, like that's the thing that helps the most is this idea of like just remembering how lucky I am. And if I have to, like reminding other people, whether it's in my family or people around me, when they're feeling sad or feeling kind of the collective sort of situation in whatever ways that they might be feeling it. Because one of the things about this is like, nobody really knows how to feel. Nobody knows how to act. We just don't know. There's a lot of combined things going on, a lot of opinions, a lot of information. I think the biggest risk is information overload. That's what I'm noticing with people around me. In terms of like my companies and teams and stuff, we keep those teams very small. Mm-hmm. That's how we've always operated, regardless of what the sort of goal is. And so that makes it so that there are less challenges on the teams for two reasons. One, they're small. Two, they're in small meaning less than 20 people. And two, they're all remote, right? Just like your team. And so that sort of distributes literally. Mm-hmm. This kind of any world situation or any local situation really distributes it. The thing about what's going on right now that I'm noticing and that I find very unique is that there are protests all over the world now. Mm. All over the world. Over something that started in the US in one city. And that is, and obviously there's a video and everything. I mean, but that is incredible. I don't think I've ever noticed anything like that, where we've taken something that happened to a single country, a single state, isolated basically in a single state, and has spread globally and caused this amount of unrest. Because that's really what this is. This is some kind of unrest. Mm. People are not able to rest, is what I mean. In case someone takes it the wrong way, that's the other thing, right? Like people are going to take things the wrong way right now, just because. And that's okay. Like, just everybody needs to just do their best. I just did that right there. I was like, yeah, that might not be the right word, but that's the word I'm using. Sorry. And I usually don't do that. I don't caveat most things I say because I try to be as balanced as I can. So those are my off the cuff thoughts. I know you're across the world, right? And so I'd love to kind of hear kind of what you're experiencing. And obviously you have a larger team. I think what you folks are like 50 plus people now, right?
Yeah. So it's interesting. I think that I want to go back later to this lucky point a little bit. I just want to understand. I love it so much that I want to understand even better, like how you do it, how you practice that. But I'll tell you,
I've been working on it. So happy to talk about it. It's something that I'm working on. So yes.
So for me, it's interesting. There's a couple of things that I've noticed. One, I've noticed I've never, like, there was a time at the beginning of COVID, I was super glad to be on Twitter. I was like, there's these very specific experts, there's these specific people on the ground in China. They're sharing these facts. There's some arguments, but there's information that I find useful. And although I would invest a lot of time into it, it felt like I'm gaining something from the experience. Yep. And the experience couldn't be more different right now. When I'm on Twitter, I can't be on Twitter for more than like a minute at a time. And then I'm just like, I need to leave this place. This is because it's just too much. And it's a lot of brutality. There's not a lot of negativity. There's a lot of arguing. It's just a different level of charged environment. And I want to go on social media to get a little bit of information on what's going on in the world, but I've never felt.
Can I give my explanation about this?
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe it would just lead to some conversation here. Yeah. That's interesting. I have a few different people who talk to me about this that are very empathetic. Mm. And this is my thesis. I think that normally, like, so let's say the COVID situation on Twitter, there were dopamine hits from it. So like your pleasure center and all that, big time. And with the current sort of protests and all the videos and brutality and everything that we're seeing, it's much different. And I think what we're hitting is it's hitting our adrenaline. Because when we watch these things, even when we read about them, we can almost imagine ourselves there.
Yeah.
And I think it produces a flight or fight response. And so you're constantly in this fight or flight response, even if you're not a protester and you're not at the protest and you're watching it and you're watching the brutality and you're watching even people just generally marching peacefully. It just never really seems peaceful. If that makes sense. Not that it isn't, it just has this like energy to it. And so my theory is like most things are a dopamine hit on social media. This is hitting adrenaline and we run out of adrenaline and then we get tired and then cranky and all kinds of angry and all kinds of things. So anyway, please continue. But that was
that makes perfect sense. I've seen a number of people, they're not even that they're not in the US. They're not in the US and they're not a person of color, right? They're not like in the group that's most impacted by this. And then I would notice how they would kind of like social media themselves into a rage and then like be really affected by this in some way that I'm like, this can't be explained with a kind of a direct line from event, cause and effect. Right?
Imagine if you're seeing basically people that are your color, right?
Yeah.
And that probably explains a lot of people's messages.
Yeah.
Right. When you think about it as adrenaline, because adrenaline is a beast of a sort of hormone and drug, and you know, if you want to call it drug.
Yeah. It's crazy. And then, so I think that, and unfortunately, again, this is one of those situations where I find there's very little actual conversation. There's very little like exchange of ideas. There's very little trying to understand. I feel like the situation is just very charged up. I think that people have been through a lot over the last couple of months. Just internal stress, anxiety, uncertainty. And this is just hitting a nerve. And so the people lash out in very, you know, very strong ways. In the mix, there's some beauty in there as well. There's like a lot of like important things that are going on, but there's a lot. There's, you know, the rioters within the peaceful protesters and then the police in the mix of everything. And then you see people arguing the side of the, it's like that quote, I don't know who said that, where it's like, You know, somebody will not understand an idea if their salary is dependent on not understanding an idea, right? Or not believing some facts or something. And it's like, some people are like, will take this as, see, you know, nobody ever believed us. Police is corrupt. We need to change the system. And then there's the other side that's like, see, and you people were telling us we shouldn't have guns. Look at all these riots. I need my guns.
And
we need our guns to protect ourselves from police and military. And then there's the other people like, see, and it's like, there's no actual, wow, I'm learning something new, or maybe I should change my mind, or maybe there's an interesting...
There's none of that.
There's none of that. It's just whatever opinions, whatever group you were part of 3 months ago, 6 months ago, you're just now more violently in that group and more righteously in that group and more believing that the other group needs a beating in some way, right? Either physical or metaphysical or just metaphorically speaking. And so that creates a very charged up environment. And it's also interesting that you see people like, just to bring it back to like just founders and startups and all that, like it's so interesting. Some of the postings that I saw early on of people trying to be supportive and writing something, you know, supporting the social cause would get beatdowns, right? In the comments would just be like, here's a picture of you being white, and here's a picture, you know, of your children being white. And then here's a picture of your team of six people, and there's not a person in color there, like just destroying these people. And then some other people would share support, and it'd be like beautiful responses and encouragement. And it's like just a wild west, but a lot of charged emotions. Maybe also a lot of adrenaline. I think that captures it really, really well. And you can only have so much in some sane way. So for me, I don't know, you're actually a pretty insane power user nonetheless. When it comes to Twitter, you got your black belt and all that. I've always been just a blue belt at best, and never been using Twitter as much, been as good as using the medium and engaging with a community on there. But what I find myself is using social media less than ever before. Just like I'm spending very little time on it. Just the amount of good information I get, or the amount of things that I'm like, oh, this makes me smarter. This is something I should know. I'm glad I read this. Just isn't happening right now for me. So it's like, I think recognizing that, because I think that some people don't have that sensitivity, or I maybe am particularly sensitive towards that right now. And I could easily see somebody spending hours and hours and hours just on this, on these Twitter tirades, getting raging themselves up to something that's like, is this really helping if you sit in your living room reading these things for 3-4 hours and then being in a rage? How does that help now? What do you do now? Right? It's very different from wanting to take action or support or trying to make change. It's just like reading, watching these videos one after the other, and then just, you know, getting one adrenaline hit after the other. I don't see how that's going to help anybody do anything better, help anybody else do anything better, and how that's going to help people to be functional. And I've had a couple of friends of mine that are not living in the US, not person of color, they were telling me that this has been more stressful for them than COVID, and that the last 2 weeks they've basically not been able to do anything. Zero productivity. Zero able to get anything done. I'm like, all right, I mean, I get it, but how do you get into a better place one day at a time, one step at a time? I'm like, how is this person some random place in Europe so outraged and so sucked into this that now they've not done any work for 2 weeks? And how is this going to help anybody? So for me, one thing is limiting my social media exposure. That's been one thing. Trying to be on top, like being very selective at a few people that I just go to certain people's timeline, to be honest, versus just my own, because I don't trust Twitter and what they want to put in my timeline. So just go to like a handful of people. I'm like, what are they tweeting? What are they sharing? Let me take a quick